Hello, lovely people. Welcome to the Direction Podcast, where we navigate the winding road of life, spirituality, career, and personal growth. Join us as we explore the path of less traveled, uncovering the stories of resilience, inspiration, and the pursuit of purpose. Get ready to embark on a journey towards clarity, motivation, and find your true inspiration. So buckle up, open up your mind, and let's sail together on this informative journey. Welcome. Enjoy. First of all, I'd like to commend Kaiser for this very auspicious initiative. The fact that you have remained consistent with it. As we all know, consistency is the mark of every achiever. And I can only see that in the next few years to come, the direction will be a global phenomenon. Yeah. It is my prayer that this initiative and this vision will grow to other parts of the globe, impact and transform lives. I'd like for us to share a word of prayer. Holy Father, tonight we are grateful unto you for the opportunity to be enlightened in your word of truth. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you turn on the lights of your revelatory truth, bring down present-day truth, and put us on pedestals of relevance to fulfill your heartbeat. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So on the subject of transformation, I would like to, the Bible says that there is a river whose streams thereof make it glad the city of God. So one river, different streams. So every word or every concept or every subject has a multiplicity of perspectives, if you like, or revelations. Tonight, and briefly so, I want to look at that word transform or transformation from two perspectives, if you like. When you look at that, see, transformation or transform, you break it into two words. We have the trans and then form. So trans and then form, trans and form. You try to delve into the etymology of the word trans and you find out that there is an aspect of the word trans that has to do with beyond. So we have beyond in the word trans and in a word like transcend, that is to have to do beyond. Okay, and then we have another meaning to that word trans that has to do with across. That is moving from one end to another end. And that's where we have words like transgender, transport. Yeah. Okay. So to transform, looking at it through the eyeglasses of the first perspective of the word trans, we look at it as beyond form. Okay. So transform can be perceived through the eyeglasses of what? Beyond form. Now, when you go to the book of Jeremiah, in the initial stages of the divine interaction that God had with Jeremiah, you will notice that in the verse 5, he says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. It in that phrase is a revelatory truth of an existence beyond form. Okay, in other words, when God is saying that before I formed you, I knew you, it splits a certain contrast or difference between the form and you. It reveals that you are not the form. Mm. Before I formed you, I knew you. Okay, so in other words, before your form was manifest, you didn't exist. Or would say that you existed before you were manifest. Yes. So, And then again, when you go into the book of Genesis, the creation story, the Bible says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Okay, so there was man, but God gave man form from the dust of the earth. God formed man. So man was not made out of the dust of the earth. Man was formed. So man was given form. Man was given a body. Okay. And you get to know this from Genesis 1:26, which says that God said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. So we say that if you want to find who man is, man's true identity is hidden in the identity of divinity. So if I must find man, I must discover God. And so you try to find out who God is. John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said that what? Man, it says God is spirit, and he that worships must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is spirit, capital S. And so if God made us in his image and after his likeness, we can also come into the conclusion that man is spirit, but man operates on earth with form, that is the body. Okay. And so before I formed you, I knew you can also be rephrased as before I bodied your spirit, or before I bodied you, which is a spirit, I knew the spirit. Now, so to transform, that is to go beyond form, can now be interpreted as living beyond the body. In other words, living the spiritual life.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is advocating for the renewal of our minds, the renewal of our minds is supposed to precipitate our transformation into the true selves. You know, that we have a saying that there is no place like home.
Yeah,
there is no place like home. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter how comfortable it is outside home. It doesn't matter how, what do you call it, convenient it is outside home. I know how many times Kaiser will ask us when we are coming to America to bring him plantain chips and to bring him all of that. It doesn't matter how comfortable he is in Virginia. He still misses the plantain chips and all of that. There is no place like home.
Merci, Lord.
In this context, we'll see that there is no place like the spirit. There's no place like, you know, living in the spiritual. Because living the spiritual life is being at home.
That's right.
And so to transform from that perspective is growing out of living in the flesh into that divinely expected space of living in the spirit, living the spiritual life. I remember about 2 or so years ago, and I've been saying this a lot at Rain, I was with Reverend Estude, and he made a very profound statement. He said, you know what? I live 80% of my life from here, and it hits his belly. And he said 20% from here. You know, so in other words, 80% of his life is controlled by the spiritual. And because the belly, which is interchangeably used as the heart in the Bible, is a seat of the human spirit. But when God says God is spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth, the worship in that scripture goes beyond singing. Okay. The worship in that scripture has more to do with relationship. We relate with God on his terms, not on our terms. Come to think of it, when God, I ask God, the interaction between God and Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 definitely was not on the level of the flesh, because we see Jeremiah saying to God that I am only a child, I cannot speak. So it means that the conversation was not a physical conversation. It was a spirit-to-spirit conversation.
That's right.
And until we can develop the human spirit to the point where we can have that spirit-to-spirit relationship with God, we shortchange ourselves. We limit the extent to which we can go with God. I have spent the last, if you like, 27 years of ministry teaching, encouraging, motivating, inspiring, you know, the discovery of purpose and all of that. And one question that keeps coming from people is, how do I discover my purpose? You see, and the moment they ask that question, you know that they are also confessing a certain state of inability to hear God's voice. Because if I can hear his voice, if I can recognize his voice, because it's one thing thinking you hear his voice, is another thing actually hearing his voice. There are many people out there who believe they hear God's voice, and you realize that when you subject them to the strict analysis, they find out later on that they may have been taking something else for the voice of God. But it will take, you know, a process of growing, a process of consistently, you know, fellowshipping with him, communing with him. And that is why in the spirit of man, there are three functions. We speak of the functions of the communion, the functions of the conscience, and the functions of the intuition. All of these three functions of the spirit, they help precipitate the development of our relationship with God, because God relates with us at the center of what? The spirit. Even in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, there's a revelation of the divine arrangement of man coded in there. And so you would find that throughout scripture, it is always mentioned in the order of spirit, soul, and body, never body, soul, and spirit, or soul, body, and spirit, as sometimes you hear people say. In the order, the divine arrangement is spirit first, soul, and then body. Unless you are in this order of spirit, soul, and body, you are walking out of divine order. So the greatest preeminence must be given to the spirit, then the soul, before the body. We have people out there who have time for the body. They feed the body. They, you know, that is the form. They take good care of the form. Every week they are cutting their hair. Every week they shave twice, thrice. You know, they are conscious of what they wear, you know, what they eat. They go exercising their body. They go for walks. They want to keep shape and all of that. And a lot of attention is given to the body, which is not bad. But when attention is given to the body at the expense of the spirit, then it is wrong. Because in terms of the attention we give to the totality of man, the spirit must come first, then the soul, and the body. We have others also who are more intellectually active, more emotionally active than they are spiritually active. And I say that sometimes in such a situation, intelligence can become your handicap. Because when God is leading you in that direction, your intelligence is leading you in another direction. And some people in that regard also become so intelligent that they begin to erroneously consider God as though he was some experimental specimen that must be subjected to a laboratory and be understood. We must give preeminence to living beyond the form, to transform, go beyond form, and then let's begin to look at the spirit man. In that same perspective, we can also look at the story of the prophet Samuel.
Okay.
Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint king. The Bible says, look at this. The Bible rates Samuel as an impeccable prophet. We are told that throughout his ministry and his life, not a word that he spoke fell to the ground. So Samuel was your typical impeccable prophet. Notwithstanding that, Samuel was nearly by the form of the brother of David. The Bible says when he saw his form, the guy was thick, tall. He looked befitting form-wise, physically, for the throne. And the Bible says Samuel nearly put the oil on Eliab, but for God's intervention. So God quickly corrected the prophet that men look at the outward. In other words, men look at the form, but I, God, I look at the heart. So many times when we as men are looking at things, that's why there's a lot of talk on branding in our world today, because men are form-driven. Men are package-driven. In the case of the Messiah, we're celebrating Christmas, the Messiah, for instance, many were looking to the palace, the form. They're looking to the palace. They knew by prophecy that Messiah was going to be born, but we're looking to this. But they couldn't imagine a Messiah coming out of the manger.
Yeah.
And more often than not, We go after the form and we miss the miracle. We go after the form, we go after the package, and we miss the blessing. Because God hides the biggest blessings in the places you don't regard, the places that are not your typical significant, significantly packaged location or whatever you call it. We should transform by way of looking beyond form in our dealings. Let's look beyond packages. Look beyond packages. Because you see, the angels that Abraham entertained, the angels that Abraham was hospitable towards, they did not come looking angelic.
Okay.
And that is why we are encouraged in the book of Hebrews that, you know, we should be hospitable to strangers, because some have unknowingly entertained angels. And that was in reference to Abraham. You look at the story of Lot. Lot, the Bible says he was at the gate of Sodom in the evening, and the angels approached him. Now, the gate, being at the gate, is also the place of prayer. Because the gate of every city is the place of legislation, you know, decision making and all of that. So we can look at the position of Lot as a posture of prayer. And so being in a posture of prayer makes you, it predisposes you to being discerning. Until we are discerning, we cannot effectively look beyond the form. We cannot see the heart of the situation. We cannot be like God, who is able to look beyond form to tell the content of the package. And so we might end up missing our blessings. We might end up missing our time or our day of visitation. So I want us to look at the subject of transform from, you know, these two perspectives. One of it is what we have just discussed. So live beyond the beyond form, beyond the physical, beyond the body. Give attention to the spirit. Number two, look beyond the package. And a lot of people are paying attention to branding, to hoodwink, and to deceive people out there. So let's be discerning, in short. Then quickly, we go to the interpretation of the word transform, which is the very usual one, to go across. That is, that has to do with change.
Yeah.
And if the etymology of the word trans in this regard has to do with across, going from one end to the other, then it tells you that there cannot be transformation without movement. You can't sit in one place and transform.
Believe to transform.
There cannot be transformation without effort. So effort, the application of effort is of critical importance in the effecting of what? Transformation. In order to achieve or arrive at transformation, effort is very important. So there may even be a prophecy concerning your life, a promise of God concerning your life, that A, B, C, or X, Y, Z is going to happen in this number of years or that number of years. More often than not, you have to meet God halfway. So many of the divine promises concerning your life will not happen in a vacuum. By the way, by the time a prophecy is coming concerning you, the enemy is getting ready to fight it. A prophecy is actually an announcement that you have warfare to do. Especially if you are
a prophecy.
Especially if you're in Africa. It's an announcement of warfare.
Warfare.
In Africa. Africa, you know, they don't use it to do any good then. You know, they're always looking for things to destroy. So imagine being in a meeting, then you are picked up in a meeting, they are given a prophecy, they say you have a great future, you're going to be this and that. Don't go out of that place swollen-headed. You should know that you have warfare to do. You know, I remember years ago when I would go into such meetings and the prophet wants to minister and all that, my usual prayer would be, Lord, close his eyes. Don't let him say anything about me. Mempe warfare be our heart. You know, kind of a thing. If people knew the amount of warfare that they are exposed to through prophecies, they'll not be running after prophetic meetings.
Yeah.
Because once a prophecy comes out, you should be ready to work. And that's why Paul would encourage Timothy to wage a good warfare so that the hands that have been laid on him, the prophecies that have been spoken about him, can come into manifestation. And many times people end up thinking that God lied and God, they said God spoke and it didn't come to pass. No, you did not meet him halfway. Because when a woman discovers, you see, a prophecy, for instance, is like conception. When a woman realizes she has conceived, you don't go to sleep. There are do's and don'ts to sustain the pregnancy, and there are do's and don'ts even to birth that pregnancy. And the same applies to prophecy. You know, even the position the pregnant woman must lie is important. I have forgotten, but I think whether to the left or to the right, there's a particular sleeping posture that is healthier for the child in the belly. You know, so we must begin to go before the Lord to seek to know what efforts are required to, you know, bring us to the end that we expect. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thought of peace and not of evil, to bring you to what? An expected end." Every one of us online, we have an expected end. There is an expected end. There is that which was written in eternity past concerning our lives that God expects to manifest. But we have a responsibility in some efforts, you know, in partnership with God to bring to bear, to bring to manifestation that expected end. And so it is up to us to team up with God. It's up to us to build that relationship with God, that through fellowship and all of that, and then seek to know the exact efforts that are required to bring to pass the expected end.
Thanks for tuning into The Direction. We hope today's conversation has inspired you to navigate your journey with purpose and passion. Remember, life is full of twists and turns, but with every step, you are shaping your path. Join Nest as we explore more stories, insights, spiritual guidance to help you find your way. Keep moving forward and know that the direction you choose is leading you closer to your dreams. See you in the next episode. You can also keep following us on the Direction_talk and on YouTube at The Direction. Check us on YouTube also at The Direction. Bless you.